The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, Human. I'm Valeria Camaño, and I'm a member of this congregation. On behalf of Reverend Dave Dunn, Director of Religious Exploration, Lexi Brown, my music director, Alex Peach, my fellow worship associates, and the dedicated technical team that is making today's live stream possible, I would like to welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call Human. We are a liberal faith community with the mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. We would like to acknowledge that the land upon which this congregation is situated is the former home of the Muskogee and Cherokee nations and those who have gone before them. No matter who you are, whom you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. All ages are welcome in service. There is a fidget shelf for children of all ages in the back of the sanctuary and nursery care available. Religious exploration for children and youth takes place at 11:15 in Discovery Hall. The schedule for the next several weeks is printed on your order of worship. Immediately after the service, the Playscape team will be giving a brief presentation on the flat screen in the fellowship hall. Our youth, in particular, are invited as VIPs to this important presentation, and they will be voting on their favorite potential Playscape pieces directly afterward. This is democracy in action. All our voices are important and needed for the success of this project. So if you are a child of any age. At 11:15 here in the sanctuary, we will have the forum to discuss the proposed changes to Article 2 of the UUA bylaws. Dave's sermon today will be about these changes, and this forum is an opportunity to learn more and discuss what they mean for us. All are welcome. All slots are full for tomorrow's MLK Day of Service project at For Kids HQ in Cumming. Thank you to all of those who have signed up. Please see Elizabeth Rohan if you have any questions. She's right there. The always fun and not to be missed, Human Talent Show will be held on Saturday, January 27th at 7 p.m. Please sign up on the events page of the website. Our chalice choir needs you. Join the fun and community of making beautiful music together. Lift up your voice and come try us on. Rehearsals are Wednesday evenings, 7 to 8:30. See Alex Peach or a choir member for any more information. Our next UU 101 course will be held during the second hour on January 21st and January 28th. Although everyone is welcome to attend, the course is especially relevant for people who are new to Human. During the two classes, we will share our spiritual journeys that led us to Human, explore what it means to be a UU, and learn about Human's ministries. Please see Lynn Hannon. Right there. After the service, if you'd like to register for the course or learn more about it. The Human Chili Cook-Off will be held Sunday, February 4th, starting at noon, immediately after second hour classes. And this month's 50-50 recipient is No Harm. Half of any checks specifically dedicated as 50-50, and half of any Givelify donations specifying 50-50 will go to No Harm.
Today's call to worship is by Reverend Marilyn Sewell. She writes, "We must no longer prioritize petty quarrels about how religious or not religious our language should be, or prioritize conflicts between the humanists and the more spiritually inclined, or have squabbles about who's in charge. It's grown-up time now. The mission of the church is not to meet our needs. The mission of the church is to heal our world. For human, it's to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, transform the world. It is to give ourselves to something larger than ourselves. Ironically, when we give of ourselves in this way, we find that our deepest needs are met. And now let us light our chalice together.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Here are some excerpts and purposes of Purposes and Professions of Faith through the Unitarian Universalist and Unitarian Universalist History from the 1790 and the 1803 Conventions of Universalists.
We believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to contain a revelation of the perfections and will of God in the rule of faith and practice from 1790.
We believe that there is one God whose nature is love, revealed in one Lord Jesus Christ by one Holy Spirit of grace, who will finally restore the whole family of mankind to holiness and happiness. 1803, Universalist Winchester Profession.
We believe in the Holy Ghost, whose office it is to make known to sinners the truth of the salvation through the medium of Holy Scriptures, and to reconcile the hearts of children and men to God, and thereby dispose them to genuine holiness. 1790 Philadelphia Convention of Universalists.
And from the 19th century Unitarian Purposes and Professions of Faith:
the objects of this association shall be to diffuse the knowledge and promote the interests of pure Christianity throughout our country, 1826.
We desire openly to declare our belief as a denomination that God, moved by his own love, did raise up Jesus to aid in our redemption from sin, did by him pour a fresh flood of purifying life through the withered veins of humanity and along the corrupted channels of the world, and is, by his religion, forever sweeping the nations with renegading gates from heaven and visiting the hearts of men with celestial solicitations. We receive the teachings of Christ, separated from all foreign admixtures and later accretions, as infallible truth from God, 1853.
We revere Jesus and all holy souls that have taught men truth and righteousness and love as prophets of religion. 1887, things commonly believed among us, William Channing Gannett.
From the early 20th century Universalist Profession:
the bond of fellowship in this Universalist Convention shall be a common purpose to do the will of God as Jesus revealed it, and to cooperate in establishing the kingdom for which he lived and died, 1835.
From the 1961 Unitarian Universalist Association:
the members of the Unitarian Universalist Association, dedicated to the principles of a free faith, unite to seeking to strengthen one another in a free and disciplined search for truth as the foundation of religious fellowship, 1961.
And from 1974,
the association dedicated to the principles of free faith shall cherish and spread the universal truths taught by the great prophets and teachers of humanity in every age and tradition, immemorially summarized in the Judeo-Christian heritage as love to God and love to humankind.
We did not read these excerpts in an effort to criticize or pass judgment on them, though I probably wouldn't be going out on a limb to say that many of those statements, professions of faith, maybe fail to resonate with many of us today. But that wasn't the point. The primary reason for reading those is to illustrate that we are part of a living tradition of Unitarian Universalism. A living tradition. Our hymnal says, singing the living tradition, singing the living tradition. Unitarian Universalism, as a living tradition, changes, it grows, it morphs. There's no fixed place in history one can point to and say, that is Unitarian Universalism. It's always changing. And that's what is so beautiful about this faith, that it's a living tradition, that it can adapt and change and grow. That can be life-saving to people. That can be life-saving to people. Over the course of history, Unitarian Universalists have woven different strands of new theologies and philosophies into the fabric of this living tradition. Christianity and Judaism, then the Transcendentalists in the early 19th century or mid-19th century, and there was humanism, paganism, religious naturalism, liberation theology, and countless other secular philosophies. All of that people have incorporated into their flavor of Unitarian Universalism. Although one mustn't profess any creed to be a Unitarian Universalist, today the foundational elements of the denomination, its purposes and professions, are found in Article 2 of the UUA bylaws. For an aspiring congregation to join, be in covenant with the Unitarian Universalist Association, they must agree to honor Article 2. Article 2 consists of four sections. Section 1 is the principles and six sources. Section 2, the purposes. What is the purpose of the UUA? Which is, it states, to serve congregations and implement its principles. The third section is the inclusion section, which says that we welcome all and we challenge structures of oppression. And the fourth section is freedom of belief, meaning there's no creedal test to be a UU. So these four sections, outside of the principles section, which has the principles and the six sources, outside of that, the other three sections, it's only 200 words, less than 200 words. It can fit on half a page. Why am I telling you this? Well, as I related in three sermons last year, the UUA bylaws state that Article 2 must be reviewed at least every 15 years. And although there have been some minor modifications to some of the wording over the years, it basically has been unchanged since 1987. In the fall of 2020, the UUA board appointed an Article 2 study commission to review Article 2 and propose changes if they deem worthy of changes. That commission completed its work towards the end of 22, and they issued a report in January 23, a year ago, detailing recommendation changes. At the UU General Assembly in June of 23, the General Assembly is an assembly of all North American Unitarian Universalists. It was held in Pittsburgh. The proposed changes were introduced. People were already familiar with them. Amendments were made. Some amendments passed to change them. Some did not pass. And then in the fall of this past year, 23, the commission then incorporated those amendments that passed the GA into another version of the changes to Article 2. Changes can still be made up till February 1st of this year. And then at GA in June, there will be a final vote on whether or not to approve the changes. It would need to be a two-thirds majority for it to pass. Okay, that's most of the process. The most significant alteration that the commission is recommending is the replacement of the current principles section with a section called values and covenant. There's no longer a list of the principles as currently in the UUA bylaws. Yet the spirit of the principles in the essence is definitely present, and I will talk about that in a little bit. So instead of seven principles, what has been proposed is a set of six values with love at the center. Then our principles are kind of referenced explicitly or implicitly in alignment with the six values. Here's the commission's thinking on this. They said, for some, the current principles serve as a theological statement, a personal code of ethics, and a way to evangelize by explaining who we are. For this reason, we felt we would be better served by a structure in which we articulate our shared values and then use these values as the ground for aspirational statements of action. Before we begin to explore the alterations, here are a few statements that are included in the newly proposed version. Every person has the right to flourish with inherent dignity and worthiness. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We support the use of inclusive democratic processes to make decisions within our congregations, our association, and in society at large. We honor the interdependent web of all existence. With reverence for the great web of life and with humility, we acknowledge our place in it. Do they sound familiar? Now, a few words more about the process in the report. that was in the report a year ago. Over the course of their work, from the fall of 2020 to January 23, the commission engaged in 45 feedback sessions with 4,611 total participants. Their videos reached 7,765 viewers, and their 29 surveys generated a total of 10,925 responses. They said, Article 2 is important to us as a denomination because we do not have a creed or a confession of faith, which other religions rely on to fill these roles. These functions have fallen to Article 2 as the closest analogy because it is a shared agreement between congregations. The current principles express a shared ethic and imply in a certain theology, one that values the individual, growth, the natural world, and diversity, but it does not name these values specifically, nor does it name many other values important to us collectively. It also gives us no guidance on how we might approach living out these values in our congregations and in the world. It declares itself to be a covenant, but the only actions it asks of congregations are to affirm and promote certain concepts. We believe we should expect more from a covenant. As one member put it, we need more verbs. We need more verbs. On the cover of your order of service is a visual representation of the six proposed values with love at the center. It did make it to the order of service, did it not? Okay. I never check that. With love at the center, the six values are interdependence, equity, transformation, pluralism, generosity, and justice. And now Valeria and I will read the entire proposed values and covenants section.
As Unitarian Universalists, we covenant congregation to congregation and through our association to support and assist one another in our ministries. We draw from our heritages of freedom, reason, hope, and courage, building on the foundation of love. Love is the power that holds us together and is at the center of our shared values. We are accountable to one another for doing the work of living our shared values through the spiritual discipline of love. Inseparable from one another, these values are
interdependence. We honor the interdependent web of all existence. With reverence for the great web of life and with humility, we acknowledge our place in it. We covenant to protect the earth and all beings from exploitation. We will create and nurture sustainable relationships of care and respect, mutuality and justice. We will work to repair harm and damaged relationships.
Pluralism. We celebrate that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect.
Justice. We work to be diverse, multicultural, beloved communities where all thrive. We covenant to dismantle racism in all forms of systemic oppression. We support the use of inclusive democratic processes to make decisions within our congregations, our association, and society at large.
Transformation. We adapt to the changing world. We covenant to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. Openness to change is fundamental to our Unitarian and Universalist heritage, never complete and never perfect.
Generosity. We cultivate a spirit of gratitude and hope. We covenant to freely and compassionately share our faith, presence, and resources. Our generosity connects us to one another in relationships of interdependence and mutuality.
Equity. We declare that every person has the right to flourish with inherent dignity and worthiness. We covenant to use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive communities.
So that's it. That's the values and covenants section. Now you may be thinking, well, that's not how I define those terms. I define justice as blah, 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 or I define equity as, and that's fine. Words are important. Yet rather than precise definitions of these terms, something upon which we could agree that we would never agree on, I would encourage you to define it in a way that makes sense to you and see yourself in there in some way. We will all see these things a little bit differently. Freedom of belief is also foundational to Unitarian Universalism. And as I mentioned earlier, over the course of history, different threads of different theologies and philosophies, secular and religious, have made their way into Unitarian Universalism. And we are free to pick up some of those theologies or leave them behind. If it doesn't work for you, you don't have to, you know, if a particular theology doesn't work for you, you move on. If an earth-centered tradition doesn't resonate with you, you don't have to subscribe to that. Other people will, and they might not just subscribe to the theologies that resonate with you, and that is okay. That is freedom of belief in Unitarian Universalism. The freedom of belief clause in Article 2 says the following. Congregational freedom and the individual's right of conscience are central to our Unitarian Universalist heritage. Congregations may establish statements of purpose, covenants, and bonds of union so as long as they do not require that members adhere to a particular creed. Okay, there's no creedal test. And congregational freedom means that we, the congregations, are and will continue to be in the driver's seat. The purposes section of Article 2 details how the UUA's purpose is to assist us, the congregations. We, the congregations, own our own buildings, call our own ministers, elect our own officers, make our own decisions, and that is not going to change. Even if the UUA was interested in doing so, controlling us in some way, even if they were interested, they don't have the people or the money or the power to do it. They simply do not. And they have bigger fish to fry. Like many religious denominations, like all religious denominations in America today, they have bigger problems. Problems in a culture where many of the younger people were raised without going to church ever, the nuns. That is a big problem that the UUA and all denominations are facing. That's their own survival. I'd like to relate some excerpts from the Article 2 Study Commission's, their final thoughts about this. They said, in our work, we sought to honor the work of those ancestors who came before and to envision all of us Unitarian Universalists as good ancestors to those who will follow us in the future. We hope this revision nurtures that living tradition so that it continues to flourish, and look forward to that future time when another commission takes up this work to make it speak for their age. Whenever there is change, there is loss. And whenever there is loss, there is grief. We honor the fact that there is loss in changing what has become so familiar to us. We were also mindful that we need not lose everything. You may have noticed that many of the words and themes of our current principles remain in the new Article 2, just in a new format. We are writing this in pencil, not etching it in stone. Love at the center. Thank you.
We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
During second hour this morning, here in the sanctuary, we will have an Article II Study Commission forum where you can learn more, comment on, and ask questions about these proposed changes to Article II. Go in peace and enjoy your week.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.